It is time for Cover Your Assets. It's time to bring in Jim Lynch. Jim joins us on a Tuesday morning. And, of course, Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, many years of experience in those subjects and more. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you, Coach. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I predicted at the beginning of the year, Chris Hecox and I are big Giant fans, and before the year started, we were talking, and I said, well, you know, I'd really be happy with a 7-9 record. I said, you know, I'd like to see improvement. So the Giants wound up 6-10. They really could have, they had three games they lost in the last minute early in the season, but they went 5-3 in the last half of the season, and I was happy that they beat the Cowboys. And I'm not one of those Giant fans that's going to complain about what Philadelphia did, because if you would have won one of those games that you lost in the last minute early in the season, you would have been the NFC East champions. But
right,
they definitely showed improvement this year. The team showed a lot of spirit. They got behind the coach. And like I said, after a horrible 1-7 start, they wound up the year 5-3. And I think better things are in the future for the Giants. I really do.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. You do good work. Listen, folks, I'd like to do something a little differently to say in light of the whirlwind happenings in our country and in our world, actually. I'd like to read you a four-stanza poem from the famous Rudyard Kipling. I'll try and read it in a way that makes sense to you. It's very simplistic, but very significant wordage. And you can pick it up on the Internet, the Poetry Foundation. It goes something like this. Firstly, it's called If. And it goes like this. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, or make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, you're losing the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with only 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Rudyard Kipling, words for today. I can't come upon words that better fit the challenges we have, but in those words, I look that there would be hope for all of us to step up and take care of ourselves and take care of others.
We're starting off a new year, and there is a whirlwind of things that are, I won't say upsetting, but that upset the balance of what going into a new year is, and that is the pandemic, not only here, but across the world. The new strain of the virus, which is not more deadly, but is much more easily catchable than the other virus. With the federal and state governments not getting together and fulfilling the need to get people vaccinated as quick as possible. And now there's a second round of vaccinations needed for the 5 million that had their first round vaccinations. The political struggles in this country and in other countries, but I think the basic struggle that the world has is that we the world has become so small with the internet and with social media that we all share in one another's problems, and it affects what's going on throughout the world. And in this country, I can't remember a New Year when you went into, especially a New Year where the presidential election was held the previous November. I know we went into the New Year when Al Gore lost to George Bush in that hanging Chad debacle. But we go into a New Year right now where Americans just have to remain calm. We've got two Senate races that'll decide who controls the Senate. The House is controlled by the Democrats. The presidency will have Joe Biden in there on January 20th. But right now, for another 15 days or 14 plus days, Donald Trump is in there. And it's interesting because he's saying some things that he doesn't have to say, like he's depending on Mike Pence to save the day. It's a very stressful time. Our military, and this is what I'm really amazed at, in Washington, D.C. for the next couple of weeks, the mayor of Washington, D.C., spoke to the Department of Defense, and they will have National Guard troops available in the city of Washington to put down any violence that might erupt in between now and the inauguration of Joe Biden. You have that that letter signed by the last 10 living chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which thoroughly show the separation of the military from any involvement in the election whatsoever. You have 140 House members on the Republican Party which are not going to vote to certify the results, and you're probably going to wind up with 15 Republican senators. Now, all this that we're going through, the strife that we're going through, is needless simply because the House is in Democratic control, and you need the House and the Senate to both vote to overturn the free will of the people. So it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And Mike Pence is not going to reject the Electoral College votes. His role is ceremonial. And this is what makes the position that we're in now, with such heated angst amongst people that support Trump and don't support Trump, dangerous, is that it didn't have to be this way. The President of the United States did not have to put us in this position where 70 million people now doubt the veracity of elections in this country. That is a crime that he has committed that is not punishable by any offense, but it will affect this country for years and years to come. And it's going to be very interesting to see how we come out of the situation.
Well, you said a mouthful in terms of what we have to deal with, but I'm very hopeful and optimistic that we will rise to the occasion and pull up our boots and get through this. What's going on is really, if you crystallize it, a test of whether we, collective we, want to continue to live as a democratic nation with all its freedoms and with all the support that we get on every level, economic, military, medical, from our all being together in this. And so come together really starts with us in terms of our mentality, in terms of dealing with the situation, which is embrace it, deal with it, we'll get beyond it, and that's it. And those words are simple, but you know, if you create visions in your mind of positive outcomes, it will help you a heck of a lot in terms of getting through your day. It is very easy, and we all do it, to get caught up in one or two of the things that Marshall has highlighted and dwell on them and be upset with them. Rather than that, look beyond it and recognize that there are solutions to all of these things. And the solution right now is for us to come together mentally and physically and verbally in the process of watching these votes and so forth, realizing how free we really are. I know we feel captured by the media and the chicanery of folks and other people's lies and stupidity, but we don't have to give in to that. We can stay above it. And as long as we stay above it, we're going to be fine. The key is keep ourselves up. These are troubling times in terms of the fears that go with sickness. But keep your head straight, and this will work out just fine. If you think of this country, we were formed as a democracy because we didn't like living under the King of England. We are experiencing a situation where some people in our government have felt that they want to go back and be a king. Well, that hasn't happened and will not happen. We fought very hard in the Revolutionary War, lost a lot of lives. And subsequently, we fought very hard in the Civil War to bring civility and fairness to this country. We fought very hard in the Second World War, and we lost a lot of good people. But we overcame. We went forward because there's a resiliency that comes when you are in a democracy that not everybody has. And as we've seen many times, when we look originally when India years ago, they got the vote, and in other countries where people get the vote, and I can remember one of those countries, they put a purple thing on your hand. The joy, the freedom that comes with voting. So gratitude is very important to keep one's head about themselves, because if you know what you have, that means you're going to fight and you're not going to give it up.
Now, let's turn to all that's going on right now and take a look at the stock market and the markets in general. All this hanky-panky going on in Washington between the Congress, the Senate, Republicans, Democrats, the President. Is that going to have an effect on Wall Street, the economy, over the course of the first quarter and second quarter of next year?
The key is Joe Biden has already organized a very accomplished, experienced staff of people in just about every area that he will have to run as President of the United States. I believe he's ready to go on day one with his plan and his execution of a plan to deal more forcefully with the pandemic. So the key is the following. The stock market has discounted us eventually getting out of the pandemic and going back to normal. And why do I say that? Well, because when the pandemic hit, the stock market was around 29,000 in short order within very fast, I can't remember. But from 29,000, it went to 18,000. Then it rallied to 24,000. Then it faded. And then it steadily improved in price as people were investing with the cheap money the Federal Reserve has provided them. You could basically borrow money at no cost, you probably still can, depending on your balance sheet. And so those professional people, or those people with a lot of money, took that free money and started buying industries that really worked for them. Now, it was led by the, it's not so much the high tech, that's too simplistic, by the Zooms, by the Amazons, by those that were capitalizing on our need to be free of having to go places and free to stay home and visit with our family. These things all did very well. And then the general group of companies in the Standard & Poor's 500, they started doing better as people then discounted that we would there would be eventually a day that we will be free of the pandemic and back as normal as we can in a year, 2 years, whatever it's going to take. The stock market is not indicative of the economy. There are 20 million people, or 10 to 20 million people, who are in food lines. There are people who are not paying their mortgages. There are people in all kinds of trouble. So the economy is sunken. The stock market is doing very well. And that should give us some hope that some people are putting their mouth, their money where their mouth is and saying, well, things will eventually be better. But you can't live your life by the stock market. If you're in the stock market and you've got substantial profits, you should be taking them, at least some of them, putting it on the side. Some very, very significant money managers, the last one that I saw yesterday was Carl Icahn, a billionaire, who are telling themselves and acting accordingly by hedging their bets that we could be really due for a big, big slug in the stock market, the down price. That's not to be concerned with in the sense if you don't own stocks, you shouldn't be concerned with it. If you do own stocks, you should be taking some profits. But the point is, it would be a natural thing to happen to the market. And as we get closer to solving the pandemic, and God help us that it be sooner than later, you will eventually see a lot of people taking profits in their stocks, because, you know, what else is ahead? But again, you've got to focus on yourself and save your money and be frugal. Most importantly, take care of your health, because without your health, there's nothing. And I can remember as a little kid growing up, and the neighborhood I lived in had X amount of widows from the Second World War, older women, 40, 50. And it always told me, now take care of your health. And I never forgot that. And boy, has it come through today. There are a lot of things that come out of calamity in this country. The Second World War created all kinds of things in medicine, in new manufacturing, in the birth of new jobs for women. So I truly expect more things to happen that are very positive out of what we've come through, because we've learned to live with adversity. And when you're living with adversity, you've got to have your head on straight, and you think and you create. So going forward, it's a matter of being frugal. Keep in mind, the reason the stock market is where it is because the federal government has been buying $120 billion. That's $120 billion U.S. government debt per month. So when they buy, they put money into the system. And that money eventually finds its way to those wealthy people who take it on and invest in the stock market. So it sounds simple, and it actually is. But it's so simple, you shouldn't say, hey, everything's hunky-dory, because the stock market is doing well.
And that's the thing that we've tried to stress. We only have about a minute left, but to try to stress for the average American looking at the stock market, that's not the indicator you look at to see how the economy's going. That's the last place you should look.
That's right. You should look at what opportunities you have economically, be you getting a new job or adding to your business. But you definitely, we've got the biggest asset we have is ourselves. And we keep our motors running and keep ourselves healthy, keep our mind open, and take care of ourselves and take care of others. And we're going to be fine eventually. Just got to keep trucking. It's one of those times.
All right.
Folks, good luck to all of us. You have a good week. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch, and cover your assets here on Robinhood Radio. You can get Jim, of course, at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch.